cowboy skirt, a cowboy hat, chaps, and then you'll fit in with the Opath boys. You ready?
Yes. But
Grandpa, you're going to go shopping. I know just a place to go after we get done eating today, okay? All right, darling. Good deal. Good job, guys. And I know most of you are wondering, she did not get her ability to sing from Jamie. You want to do a stanza of the Star Spangled Banner to get us off today? No, okay, good deal. Hey, it's Christmas. We're glad you're here. I've been telling you, I want to thank you all for being here. As I said before we got to this day, the importance with your children. And I know it's a fun day for them, and it should be. I mean, all of us growing up enjoyed Christmas and everything that is connected with it. But I think it's so important for them to understand that there's no day on this earth that's more important than anything than the day the church is to meet together to preach and teach the Word of God. And I think it's a good example to your children and a good teaching lesson if you know how to use it to help them to see and understand. You know, as parents today, you have to use every angle at your disposal to have your kids see, you know, really what life is really all about. And, you know, like all our holidays today, this is the time for family and friends. And it's what, you know, I get out of it, and I know that most of you do too. And yes, yeah, it's a time for giving and a time for gifts. You know, this day has been associated with the birth of Christ ever since around, 400 A.D., some 400 years after, you know, he was actually born. You know, they began to put it together. And it's celebrated all over the world. And for me, you know, it's a fun time to give to others. I try to give to everybody whatever they need, whenever I can, whenever I see the need. But things like Christmas, it's you know, no, everything is open. You just want to take care of those who let them know how much you appreciate them and what they've done for you and how special that they are. And it's a time for our kids. And yes, us big kids too. But like everything else, you know, so many times the real emphasis behind everything today will get lost in all of the hype that goes on at Christmas. For me, I don't need December 25th to take time to reflect on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of my life, I think about it. Everything that I face, every failure that I have in my own life, I stop and ponder why he would even come for somebody like me. And, you know, it's an amazing thing that isn't just set aside. And that's what most people do. You know, we're so time-oriented when it comes to the things of God or the Bible or Christ or whatever. We'll just give him a day. And I could just never do that. Every day of my life, I think about it. I think about where I would be without his coming into this world. And it has nothing to do with December 25th. It has nothing to do with Christmas, but it has everything to do with my salvation. And most certainly, the first coming of Christ changed the whole world forever, one way or the other. And I know you kids have a big day ahead of you, you know, receiving your presents when you get home. Probably most of you already were up early and opened up, and you can't wait to get back home to them. I get that. Believe me, at my house, they were there at 8:30 this morning and doing it. When my girls were growing up, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. It's where they coined the term, oh, dark 30. You know, it was a thing where, and, you know, they always get me up with a cup of coffee to get my heart started, you know. And I just know it goes. I just how it is. And, I'm going to get you out of here today, and I want you to go home and enjoy your family and your friends and all this day. But I just want you to remember some things about this day. And if I could today, just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you children for a moment. And I'm also going to talk to the parents. And I know that some of you are single. You're not married yet. So I want to talk to you. And you couples that maybe don't have any kids yet, I want to talk to you. And families, I want to talk to you. What I'm trying to say is I want to talk to everybody today. I want to talk to you about putting this time of the year, this day, into a proper context. And you know me, I'm big on context. Now let me talk to you kids, and I'm all glad you're all in here. All you kids are here, everybody's here today with the kids and everything, and I'm glad you're all here. But first off, I want you to understand, I know you got a lot of things at home, you got a lot of nice presents today, all of that. And I know there's a lot of things under the tree waiting for you that you want to get back to, but I want you to leave here today and understand that outside the Bible, outside anything that God has given you, spiritually speaking, the greatest gift that you ever have was your parents. The fact that you have a mom and a dad that loves you. The fact that you have a mom and a dad that cares for you. You'll never know till you're older. I wish you could understand it now, but I didn't, and I know you don't. But sometime in your life, you're going to look back, and you're going to realize all the sacrifices that they made for you. You're going to realize all the things that you got something, but they paid the price for it. And at some point in your life, you're going to learn to appreciate that. I wish that at your young age now, you could do it. Maybe every once in a while, you'll find a kid that can. But in most cases, that doesn't happen today till you get a little older. And unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't even happen then. And they are for sure your parents. You know, we hear of this phrase, the gift that keeps on giving. That's your parents. Because all of your life, they're going to keep on giving to you everything that you need. And so many times, kids get so indifferent to that. And a lot of it comes because of the world we live in today. A lot of it comes because of the entitlement that we think that we should have because of everything that is in the world today. And that's simply not true. The greatest gift you'll ever have in your life is your mom and your dad. Because God gave them to you, and they are there for you, and they take care of you. And yet, having said that, hey, I've been in this business a long time, and this is a terrible thing to have to say, but it's a true thing. I know that for some of you young men and some of you young ladies, you don't have a mom and dad. Or you do, but who knows where they're at. And they, you know, they're out of your life. They've never really provided anything for you. And you may sit there today and feel bad because of the fact that I'm talking about the moms and the dads that the other kids have that you really don't have. Wait a minute. You know what the greatest gift God ever gave you? It was the men and women in this church that took you into their family. It was the couples that made you part of their family. They may not be your biological mom and dad, but they are your mom and dad in the Lord, and they have made up the difference of what you didn't get in a physical life. That's a great gift to you. I don't care where you're at in life, and I don't care what you face in life. When you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes care of His own. And you young men and young ladies, when you don't have a real mom and dad that loves God and does everything and has been there for you, and you don't even know where they're at maybe, and that happens, God always will take care of you and give you your family right here. It's one of the great things about this church. I see it all the time. You couples, you young men, you young single guys, you young single girls taking the kids in this church and doing for them what they would never have if it wasn't for you. And, you know, I see that all the time. But I have to tell you, you can't teach somebody that. That comes from you getting the Lord in your own life and growing in the Word of God and realizing that all that you have that God has given to you, you look around you and you find the occasion to give it to somebody else. And I appreciate that. God will put a special family in your life. If He doesn't have one, then that'll be your gift. Just like those who have your family that are here today and you're going to go home with, and maybe they're around this country, but you love them very much and they love you. And I know this to be true. Your parents think that you're the best gift God ever gave them. And see, when you have that mindset that the parents don't ever forget that their kids are the best gift that they've got, and the kids never forget that their parents are the best gift that God ever gave them. It doesn't get any better than that. Some of you, and I stand in awe of you, and you have my utmost respect. I've watched you folks who adopt children. It takes a special kind of person to be able to do that. I know Chris and Terry, you're in the process of yours, and you know, you'll make great parents. That kid will be street preaching when he's four. Greg over in St. Louis, who we pray for, you know, he has adopted children. Lauren and Barb Nyhard, I went to breakfast with Lauren a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me that his kids are in the process of taking and adopting four kids. And what a gift that must be to you today. I mean, I watch you guys with them, and it's an amazing thing. So to you kids, don't forget the greatest gift you have is your mom and your dad. In the midst of all that's going on today. And if I could suggest to you sometime today, I'd crawl up into their lap and whisper in their ear just how much you love them and how much they mean to you. And I don't care if you're 5 or you're 55. They need to know. Because the greatest gift outside of God's salvation and all spiritually things speaking, God gave you was your parents. Lauren Nyhard, when we went out to breakfast that morning, he told me something that it was one of the greatest things I ever heard, man. And it is so true. And we're sitting there eating breakfast and talking about a lot of different things, you know. And it came down to kids and his kids. He's got great kids. And he said, you know, he says, I've learned something, Bob. And he says, if you raise and train your kids right, then you will get the privilege of spoiling them and your grandkids. But if you don't raise your kids right and you wind up spoiling them, all you're going to do is wind up raising your grandkids. Boy, that is so true. That is so true. Then for us as adults, God has given us the greatest gift ever, and many times with all we have in life, we forget the gift and lose, you know, our appreciation of what it really means to us. Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask? And what he's basically saying there, if you and I as sinners can have the love and the care to give gifts to not only your children but to each other, how much more must God love humanity and man to give him their gift? And in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, he really defines what he says there, because he says the same verse, but there he says the gift is defined as the Holy Spirit of God. Now, spiritually speaking, this is the gift that keeps on giving, the one that God gave us. And I want to build God's gift to me and to you around just one word today. I heard someone give a devotion a while back, and I was kind of over in the corner when they were saying it, and I heard them say it, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to steal that. And it was one of the best things that I ever heard. But I want to build today what I want to talk to you about, one word, and it's the word unspeakable. You know, you only find the word unspeakable 3 times in the whole Bible. Now, unspeakable means, and I don't mean to insult your intelligence, you know what it means. It means something that is so incredible and glorious and of such dimension that there are really no words to really describe it. And for sure, all that God has done for all of us, words could never be enough to describe or to explain it. I'll tell you what it takes. It takes a committed life. It takes somebody who has trusted Christ as their own personal Savior. God has changed their life, changed their perspective, changed everything about them. And now it's not just what you say, but it's what you live. More people have been won to Christ and influenced to do the right thing by how they live their lives, more than they ever do it by what somebody says. And it takes a committed life to do it. In my life, I learned much from the men who taught me things about the Bible. But I learned a greater amount by watching the consistency of their lives. watching that what they preached was really what they lived. They didn't pick and choose whatever they wanted to do. The Bible was the Bible. They followed it to the letter. And it was that great appreciation that I had for them that taught me more than what they ever said. Talk is cheap. But as Paul said to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9, he says that we need to prove the sincerity of our love. You don't do that by what you say. Because what Christ has done for you and for me is unspeakable. Now, the first time I want to find it in the Bible will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And he says here, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you today for the Lord Jesus. Help us today to put all of this together, to give us a clear presentation of today. In spite of all of the fun things that we do, the food and the festivities and the gifts, let us never forget the greatest gift that man ever received didn't come from another man of this earth, but came from the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. For his sake we ask it. Amen. Now this will be the greatest gift to mankind ever. God giving us his Son, Christ coming down to man to die for our sins. It's called the gift of God in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. In Luke chapter 2, we read the story of the birth of Christ. He's in a manger in Bethlehem. Bible tells us that he wound up in a stable because there was no room in the inn. It was a period of time when everybody had to go to pay their taxes, and the town was filled with people, and they couldn't get a room. I've always found that very fitting, that when the greatest gift of mankind came, he was born in a stable because there was no room in the inn for him. I always thought that was very fitting for his life and his death for me. First off, the Bible says there was no room in the inn. How prophetic that is, because all down through history and certainly today, most of God's people don't have any room in their life for him either. We fill our life with everything else we got, but when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, no vacancy, no room in the end. I've always thought that was an amazing thing. I always thought that was so prophetic of how it was going to wind up when he did finally die on the cross. And then the second thing I see in Luke chapter 2, when that baby was born, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Now, most people don't think much about swaddling clothes because you buy Pampers, you buy, you know, all the diaper things that you have, and you know, you ladies, you know, send your husband out to get diapers when you have a baby. Guys, just a little bit of a insight here. When you buy the diapers and it says for 10 or 15 or 20 pounds, that's not how much it holds. That's how big the baby is when you buy them for them. Guys get messed up on that sometimes. But I looked at that when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes is grave clothes. When a man died back in that period of time, they wrapped his body in swaddling cloth or swaddling clothes. So right out of the gate, when I see in Luke chapter 2 the birth of the greatest gift that God gave man, I see that there's no room for him in this world. And I also see that he was born to die, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when you experience it, his salvation, and understand the price that was paid, it's unspeakable. Words would fail me today to convey all of what Christ has done for us on the cross. We can talk to people all the time, especially in the world that we live in. There's so much up against the word of what Christ has done. The only true way to explain it is to see the change in somebody's life. It's only through a committed life of a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 says, that it could ever be understood. Words are simply not enough. And then the second thing, and then you find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. And it says here, "It is not," this is Paul speaking, "it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Now here it comes. How that he was caught up to paradise and heard unspeakable words. You see, the gift that keeps on giving is not only did God give us his Son, which is an unspeakable gift, but then he gave us his Word. How can you explain the Word of God? It's unlike any other book the world has ever seen. He gave man his unspeakable gift, and now here he says that the Word of God is the unspeakable Word of God. The Bible's the most incredible book that ever came to this planet. I know most people don't see it that way. Most people don't understand it. To them, they've had a Bible that's somewhere in their life, all their life, but they've never understood the value of it. It's a book that every other book that's been written by man, that book that God gave us, the unspeakable one, can dissect and judge everything for truth. It's the absolute standard for life on planet Earth. It's the greatest history book the world has ever seen. It's the greatest science book the world has ever seen. It's the greatest children's book the world has ever seen. Yet, it can reach down and touch the heart of the most tenderest child, but at the same time, it can go on a level with the greatest minds of this world and deal with them both. The greatest book on life. The great issues that you and I face in life. The problems that we have in life. Let's be honest today. Our problems that we have in life are simply there because we've made bad choices. It's not a criticism. I've made them. We've all made them. The difference is, sooner or later, you have to get a hold of the book that will help you never make any more bad choices again. I deal with people all the time who have lives that are shattered and cluttered and all kinds of issues. And I try to help them when I can. And you know, you take somebody that's been in a situation for 30, 40 years, you ain't going to fix it in 20 minutes. But I'll tell you what I always tell them. I'll say, we can't go back and fix everything in your life right now, but I'll tell you what we can do. If we can just start doing one thing, in time, we'll get through out of everything that you're going through. You know what that one thing is? Simply stop making bad choices. How do you do that? You got to get a book that's unspeakable. You got to give a book that the world doesn't understand. You got to get a book that God gave us as the gift that keeps on giving. He gave us his Son. Now he gives us his Word. And that book will get you through. It's unspeakable because it's unsearchable. It has no bottom to it. And it's everything that you and I need for every problem that we have. And then the third time you find it in the Word of God will be found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Here he says, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. See? The gift that keeps on giving. God gives us his Son. From that we get the unspeakable Word of God. And now from the first two comes unspeakable joy. How do you explain to somebody what joy is? I mean, the world has an understanding of the word happiness. And everybody today wants to be happy. Nobody really is. But everybody wants to be happy. And the problem with happiness is the compound of the word. Happiness depends on the happenings. So when you have a good happening, you're happy. When you have a bad happening, you're not happy. And of course, there's no real happiness in the world today. It's all temporary. On your best day, as happy as you could be. People are happy the day they get married. Ask them if they're still as happy 4 or 5 years later. People are happy when they go buy a new car. Ask them if they're still happy when the fenders are rusting out and the engine blows up and they got to buy another car. Happiness in this world is temporary, folks. It's based on the happenings. And when it happens good, you're great. When it happens bad, you're unhappy. There has to be something that is consistent. and that's joy. Joy will bring you through when nothing else will. We're looking at Christmas right now. I saw a poll yesterday that 72% of the people getting Christmas gifts are confused and disappointed by what they've got. The same poll said 40% were insulted by the gift that they got. In other words, everybody looks at today, Christmas, and judges the success of it on whether you like the gift or not you got. The truth of the matter is, my friend, the greatest gift this world ever got was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll never let you down. And that's where the joy comes in. You see, joy is something the world will never understand. It's unspeakable. How do you explain? You can't even explain this to a lot of God's people, let alone an unsaved person. How do you explain joy? You can't. You know how you really do explain joy? By it being in your life and other people seeing it. When their world falls apart and you have your troubles in your life, joy carries you through. You see, happiness is built on the happening. Joy is built on the promises of the Word of God. And no matter how bad my life gets or whatever problems may come into it, the joy resides in the fact that I got a book that's unspeakable, that came from the gift that was unspeakable, that will get me through everything in my life. And I know that it's true. And there rests my joy. Joy comes back to the unspeakable Word. When the happenings of life are good, people are happy. When they're not good, then they're unhappy. And joy is based, as I said, on the promises of God. Because in the principles of the Word of God, you learn the great truth of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose, even the bad things. And you know what? Joy is the root element of my relationship with Christ, knowing no matter what happens today or tomorrow, I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to worry about it. You know why? Joy that God has got it all under control. Even though I don't like it, even though I don't understand it, I rest in the fact. And my joy is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, just like my faith. You see, joy will sustain you when nothing else will. And how can you explain that? You can't. It's unspeakable. And in all three of these, words will never be enough. Words will never convince anybody. Words will never give the true reason for the joy, the true reason for the Word of God, the true reason for Christ's death on the cross. But seeing is believing. And only a life that's committed to Christ and then through those three areas of unspeakable gifts without saying a word, allowing the world to not hear what you say, but see who you really are. The joy that sustains you is through tough times, deep trials, death of a loved one, all there by the promises of the Word of God. You see, and God's people don't get this. I don't expect unsaved people to get it, but God's people don't get it. You and me, we are the only Bible that the world is reading. Our life is the only sermon that the world should be heeding. For we have the truth that the world is so desperately needing. And today, with all that we have and will be doing today, let's not forget the greatest gift to all of us. It's the unspeakable gift that God's Son, certainly the icon of the gift that keeps on giving, the real true gift that never stops. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, back when Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, he told them in chapter 3, verse 2, that their lives was a book. He said that your life is an epistle written on your hearts that's read of all men. No truer words were ever spoken, because that's where the real explaining of the unspeakable will take place. And today, with the greatest gift from God to man, you know, we stop and think that, as Romans says, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. Somebody's always watching your life. Somebody's always reading your book. If you're saved today, you are the epistle written on your hearts that men read. And you have to ask yourself, I mean, I ask myself, what do men see when they read your epistle? Do they see a love story? You in Christ, him in love with you, you in love with him? Or do they see a drama? A life so messed up and cluttered with all the bad decisions that you've made that every day of your life there's a new drama that somebody has to deal with. Maybe they see a mystery. You don't really know who you are in Christ either. And you live one life on Sunday and another life Monday through Saturday. Maybe when they read your epistle, it's a science fiction book. And they're really wondering what planet you live on. Maybe when they read my epistle or your epistle, it's a fairy tale. Nothing in it is real. Oh, yeah, you live your life like Cinderella, you know, and you live your life in this great fairy tale, and then one time at midnight, the carriage turns into a pumpkin, and the prince turns into a frog, and you just kissed him. Fairy tale. Not even real. Maybe our life is a comic book. It's just a joke. Maybe it's a horror story. A light of total disaster, running from church to church, issue to issue, like Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jason and Freddy Krueger are always right there around the corner. What do they read when they see us? I mean, so whatever it is, as I said, no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. So as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter verse 14, and I understand the context, he said to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that is in you. And the greatest gift that's in you, and I understand he's talking about the gift of ministry here, but he didn't get that gift on his own. He got that gift because he received God's greatest gift. And when we all got saved, there was a gift involved, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God, the gift of the Word of God, the gift of the joy. And it's all unspeakable as far as me trying to explain it to you. Or you try to explain it to whoever. The only way that they'll ever see it and understand it is to watch the change in your life. If it's real, that's where they'll see it. Not by what you say, but by the real change of what you do with the Word of God. Day after Christmas, oh boy, everybody returns the gifts. And there's a number of reasons for it. Well, it doesn't fit me. I don't like the color. It's just not me. I don't really need it. And yet, my, so many of God's people will reject God's gifts for the same reason. Doesn't fit me. Meaning it doesn't fit your lifestyle. Don't like the color, it's blood red. It's just not me, because you're in the world and somebody changed your name. I don't really need it. That's what the Laodicean church says in Revelation chapter 3 when they say they have need of nothing. God's people do the same thing with the greatest gift that God ever gave man. So remember today, the greatest gift you have didn't cost you anything. It's a true gift. Somebody else paid the price for it, but when Christ paid the price for it, it cost God everything. So think about it today. You kids, you thank your mom and dad. I come up to you kids all the time, all of you, and I ask you, right in front of your mom or your dad, I ask you, are you being good to your mom and dad? Are you being good to your mom? Are you being good to your dad? I'll put you on the spot. You know why? Because you need to realize the gift that God gave you in your parents. But then all of us need to realize the gift that God gave us through His Son, and then through His Word, and then the joy that comes from it, and it's unspeakable. You will try to use words the rest of your life to convince people it's real, and they'll never believe you, because the only thing that really will prove that it's real is how you live your life. Did it change you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus. We do love you. We thank you, Father, for all you do and for everything that you mean for us today. We thank you for this time we've set aside, and may the message of today touch the hearts of your people, that it's fine to have a fun day. It's fine to enjoy everything that we have. It's fine to be all the fun and the games and the food and the presents and the gifts. It's all okay. I'm looking forward to it. But in all of that, never let us forget. Never let these kids forget the greatest gift they have is their parents. And the parents realize to train their kids right, the greatest gift they have is the Son of God, the Word of God, and the joy that comes through those two. Thank you, Father. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name. For His sake we ask it. Amen.